You're listening to Booth Talk from the After Movie Diner. And this episode, we're very pleased to present conversations with the cast of the original Evil Dead. Well, minus the big-chinned one. Up, it's the Ladies of the Evil Dead, and this was recorded at Philadelphia Comic-Con 2012.
So, what was the big decision to kind of get back into it? Was it just like conventions and stuff, or had you been offered acting roles? Or?
We had been acting. We had all taken some time off
right.
to raise a family and to do other things. We were also acting, and then about 10, 11 years ago, we just started back in conventions.
Yeah. And I've seen, because you did that great mini-series, what was it?
The Dangerous Women.
Dangerous Women. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How did that come about?
We have a friend who is a writer and always wanted to write something for us. And, you know, when web series started taking off, he decided that that would be a good vehicle for us.
Oh, fantastic, so, yeah. Fantastic. And what's and obviously conventions and stuff in the future, but any more plans for any more roles and things like that?
I just did a movie a few months ago, and it's called Old Days.
Called Old Days?
Uh-huh. And it's with Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville.
Oh, yeah.
He directed it, and I have a part of scene with him and the woman from V. Her name is Marina Bakarin.
From Firefly. Yeah.
I play her mother.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Yeah.
So it'll be out next year.
That's coming out next year. Okay. And will you be touring with that? Are there plans?
Who knows? I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And I just did a...
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
TV pilot with Alfred Molina.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. And what was that for?
It was for TV. It got picked up. It's called... Well, it's now called Monday Mornings. It's a hospital show.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a recurring role?
No, not unless my daughter has a relapse.
Oh, in the pilot, you're...
I'm a co-star, but only if she gets better.
Oh, okay.
She recovers.
Oh, well, that's
amazing. Shucks, you've got to make... Yeah,
I know.
You've got to slip something in a drink or put something in the mashed potatoes or something like that.
Yeah. And you did something with Tom Sizemore.
Oh, I did. I did a feature with Tom Sizemore. Oh, the actor. He's doing a lot of Hawaii Five-O right now
right.
and some films. And I did... we just finished that in January.
Hopefully.
So, yeah.
That's excellent. That's fantastic. Oh, it's good that you're all doing this new stuff and we get to see you acting again.
Yeah.
Just get to see you out there again. It was great to see you in My Name is Bruce.
Oh, thank you.
What was that like, making that with Ted and Bruce again?
It was really fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
And I mean, I know that I think now the idea of doing a sequel to that may have been put on the back burner, but...
I'm not sure where that is.
Would you show up in that? Have you been asked or talked about it?
Yeah, I just have no idea when or if it's actually going to happen.
Right, yeah, I think since... I don't know, I mean, a lot of things get said, but I mean, I hear that there was a script and then maybe that fell through or it wasn't so good and...
I don't have a clue. You can ask Bruce that in his Q&A tomorrow.
Yes, I will. I'm here all weekend.
So and ask him if we're all going to be in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, obviously...
You heard we were.
Hello, ladies.
Right. Yeah, I wondered if Ellen was coming back because she was in the first one. I wondered if you guys, now that you're doing conventions together and obviously like you've got to hang out with Bruce a bit more and stuff like that, whether there had been talks about doing stuff again or...
There's a lot of talk.
A lot of talk.
As fans, we know there's a lot of talk.
A lot of talk.
Right. In fact, that's all we do is talk.
Yeah. I see. Okay, well, look, thank you ever so much. It's very kind of you to say a few words for my silly little show.
Next up, it's the man who played Scotty, Hal Delrich, as he was credited, but in reality, Rich DeManico.
All right, that's so you're all set.
I'm all set, man. Very cool.
What's your name?
John.
John. Okay.
John.
J-O-N.
Like three and a half.
Three and a half minutes. No problem at all. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I'm going to fall asleep in four.
You might do because of the accent. I was going to ask, first of all, I heard on probably a commentary or making or something like that, that you were one of the few cast members that was actually into horror movies at that time. Like, you liked them as a fan or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I was... I used to read the magazines when I was a kid. Well, here's an example.
Cool.
I'm putting makeup on. I'm getting makeup put on me.
Yeah.
For this scene here.
Okay, when you come back from the woods.
Yeah, when I come back from the woods, and Tom Sullivan is putting the makeup on me. I'm sitting down in a chair. There's a mirror in front of us. There are some lights around. I have a towel draped around my neck. Tom Sullivan is standing behind me, putting the makeup on me, and I look in the mirror and I see that vision. Well, when I was a kid, I used to read the gory magazines.
Yeah.
And there was I vividly remember a picture of Michael Landon sitting in a chair, facing the mirror, lights all around, towel wrapped around his neck, and a makeup artist applying the makeup for I Was a Teenage Werewolf.
Okay.
And I think that was his first movie.
Yeah.
And if the caption said it takes whoever it was, the artist, 3 hours to apply the makeup to Michael Landon for his appearance in. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, wow, this was a dream that I had all this time. I didn't even know it. I was into horror from a young age, 11, 12, 13.
How does it feel to be in something like this, which is, of all those horrors that came in the 70s and 80s, it's in the top 10 that people mention all the time, Halloween and Reanimator and things like this. The Evil Dead is, you know, it's huge worldwide.
I don't have an explanation for that. I enjoy the fact that it is that.
Yeah.
When we made it, I made it. It was like when you're a kid playing Army.
Yeah.
I was playing monsters.
Right.
And I was getting to kill people, and I was being killed.
Yeah.
I got to die. And that's, you know, that's all I did. You know, I played that. So doing this, we had no concept of what was going on.
Right.
And how does it measure up to those? I don't have an explanation for that.
So was doing it better for you and reliving a dream better for you than what then subsequently happened with the movie? Or
That's an interesting question. I loved doing the movie. I was fulfilled. When that happened, I could have died. That moment when I'm sitting in that chair, I could have died and I would have been happy.
Oh, wow. That's excellent.
Now I come to these conventions and I die here, and that's not all that much fun.
Right. Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. I do enjoy this. It flabbergasts me that people come here and want to meet me from a movie that was made 30 years ago.
Well, the crazy thing is that, you know, the books were written, Evil Dead Companion, there's commentaries, everything like that, you know, and the ladies have got their website and things like this. So slowly, from like the 20th anniversary onwards, like, people have learned more and more about the movies. The one person they haven't really got to speak to, and I think Bruce made this comment on one of the convention videos on the 25th anniversary DVD, like, the one person no one's spoken to until like recently has been yourself. So for someone like myself, one of the dreams.
Well,
seriously,
my world.
Yeah,
it's
I've seen this movie that I've watched this movie since I was like 14 years old. Loved it, loved the trilogy and everything like that. So, so what happened then when it finished? And I think, I don't know whether it's right or not, but there was like mixed feelings, maybe, I don't know. But why no more horror movies? Considering some
for me?
Yeah, for yourself.
I'd been
or did you start attempting, and finish strong?
I'd been in trying to be in the business,
right.
Movies, you know, acting for a couple or 3 or 4 years, and I was in the Detroit metropolitan area.
Right.
And there you do voiceover work, you do industrial films, training films for the automakers and whatever, that kind of stuff. And I've been trying to do that, get to my auditions, whatever, but you still got to make a living, you got to pay the rent, you got to eat, you got to take care of the dog, all those things. And I was working at a delivery company, I was coaching diving at a high school, so I was doing all these things.
Right.
I was working from 4:30 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. I was always doing something. And then I said, well, I got crazy. I can't do all of this. I've tried acting. I'm going to have to bow out. A month later, I got invited to audition for Evil Dead. And I said, no thanks, I'm out of the business. About a month went by, and I got invited again. And this time I was told that a friend of mine already got a part in the movie. And I went, oh, that's cool. His name's Greg Tatum. I said, I've worked with Greg before. Okay, yeah, let's do that. Okay, so I auditioned. I got the role and I bumped Greg out. Greg was going to be the original Scotty, and then I bumped him out. We're still very good friends.
Yeah, that's cool.
But anyway, so I was getting out of the business. This was the last thing that I did, and then I did get invited back by Renaissance Pictures to be in their movie Crime Wave.
Right.
I have a role that lasts all of like maybe 6 or 7 seconds on screen. So, but I don't feel bad because I was playing alongside, I was a cop.
Right.
I was playing alongside a very good character actor who had been in the business for years and years. His name was Richard Bright.
Right.
He had, when we went in, he had like 11 lines. I had 4. When the movie came out, he had 1 line. And together, we were in the movie a total of like, 7 or 8 seconds.
Well,
and that was it. So I felt pretty good.
I was
on par with Richard Bright.
Right.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
It is.
But, I mean, everyone in that movie, like Crime Wave, got cut out of it and swapped around. It was a headache and whatever. And no dreams to go beyond this? This was just what it was? Or?
Early on, no. Well, around about 19, let's see, this was, we did this in 79, 80, and it came out in 82. Around about 1990, I thought I might do it. I thought I might say, okay, I might as well, I really want to do that, I might as well go.
Right.
And I quit a couple of my jobs, and then I didn't go. I didn't, so, yeah. And then I always thought, well, I can always get back into it.
Yeah.
But then I've had a conversation with a couple of people, and I'm reading this book, Evil Dead Companion.
Yeah.
And it talks about all the development that Sam Raimi went through and Bruce Campbell and Rob Tappert, how they learned their craft and how many years, how many attempts they did at things before they finally did something that became, was mainstream sort of.
Right.
With, Evil Dead. And Sam, of course, gone on to other things. I stopped my progression and my learning, my advancement, my development when I stopped doing that.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be as easy for me to just jump right back into it.
Right.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. However, I think it would take me a little while to get geared up again and figure it all out.
You've not been approached at a convention by, an independent film director or something like that, just as a in-joke cameo type?
Yeah, that comes up once in a while.
Sure.
Where they say, hey, would you be in my, just send me a script or tell me what you want me to do and, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I was approached by a man in Michigan who was trying to produce kind of a ghost story,
right,
based on sort of true events.
Right.
But and that was about 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and he actually approached the girls as well, and we were all going to be in the movie cameo appearance,
right,
as this family of farmers, and which was central to the ghost story. But it hasn't come to fruition. Trying to make the money, so.
Yeah, that's always the tricky part of it, isn't it?
So yeah, so it comes up. I think Ellen is very active, and she in the business.
Yeah.
And she probably has more inroads to that than I do.
Right.
But if it comes along, and if somebody wants me to do something.
And just lastly, how did you get approached to be in the convention circuit? What was that idea behind that, or the impetus behind that?
I had no, none of the impetus came from my camp, from me.
Yeah.
The first I heard of it was in 2002 when they had a 20-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And they just called me out of the blue and said, hey, we're doing this thing, you want to get together, we're having a reunion.
Yeah.
I went, oh yeah, that'll be fun. So that was 2002. About a year later, I don't know, I can't tell you how I heard, but somebody called me and said, hey, we're going to a convention in Baltimore. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
Okay. So since that time, I probably average 1 a year.
Right.
Maybe 2 a year.
I
don't get to many of them, but yeah, this is the first one I've done this year. I may do another, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I did one last year. I did two or three 1 year, and then I didn't do any of the next. So it's just, if it comes up and I'm available, then I do.
And is there a feeling amongst the cast that you all went through something together? Is there that when you get back together now at conventions and things? Or is it just really a working relationship?
We're pretty good friends. And you know what? We didn't see each other for a long time after 20 years. I didn't see any of the girls for 20 years. Or Bruce or Sam or anybody. Over the course of time that we've been at conventions, I think we're becoming more friendly.
Right.
Now, when we did the movie, first of all, you had Rob and Bruce and Sam, and then their group of buddies
right.
that were all producing the film, putting it together. You had three women that were the only women there, and they sort of were themselves,
right.
you know, kept to themselves. I was just another actor. I wasn't friends with Sam and Rob. I didn't know any of them. I didn't know any of the support, the production assistants or anything. So I ended up rooming with Don Campbell, Bruce's brother. He was my roommate. And, you know, we were okay. We got along. But there wasn't a camaraderie. There wasn't a, you know, we went through hell together kind of thing.
Right.
I think the girls, you know, like from my standpoint, it was fun. I just had a great time. And I think the girls, because they were women, had a harder time with it.
Sure.
And they, let's say, suffered a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't easy. I mean, talk to Bruce. The final scene where I'm chewing on his leg and he's trying to throw grab the book and throw it on the fire and all that stuff. We shot that scene probably, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 times. At that particular time, it was 10 degrees outside. The only source of heat we had was the fireplace in that cabin. We were stuck to the floor with Karo syrup. So every time Sam would say, cut, all right, reset, let's go, we had to peel ourselves off the floor. And you know skin's coming off on the shirt,
right.
and the shirt's peeling off the floor. Then you back up, and then you lay down in it again, and then you do the scene again. That wasn't comfortable.
No.
You know, and that's kind of brutal. But I don't remember it as being brutal.
Right.
I know that I was uncomfortable. I mean, one time Sam says, okay, you guys got to stop shivering. We're ready to go. Okay, action. And you stop shivering. And you did whatever you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it was tons of fun. And I think the girls had a harder time with it.
No, I'm sure. Well, look, thank you ever so much for talking to me today. It's been a real pleasure. Seriously, and it's great to have met you.
Nice to see you.
Really
I'm glad
great to have met you.
Took the time to come over.
Oh, no, definitely.
And
it was
you tracked Jerry down, too.
Yeah, well, someone had to.
That's the best part of it. We did everything right. We're not in trouble with anybody.
Here are just a few of the things famous people say about the After Movie Diner podcast.
Hello, I'm Dame Judi Dench, and when I'm not dusting the submarine, I'm listening to the After Movie Diner podcast. You know, for the film reviews.
Hello, I'm Eric Stoltz, and when I'm not taking Uncle to the pictures, I'm listening to the After Movie Diner podcast for the interviews.
Hello, I'm Lewis Gossett Jr., and when I'm not trampolining for peace, I'm listening to the After Movie Diner podcast for the music.
Hello, Bernie Taupin here, and when I'm not undermining Venezuela, I'm listening to the After Movie Diner podcast for the guests.
Hello, I'm Celia Imrie Stunt Double, and when I'm not wanking for tumours, I'm listening to the After Movie Diner podcast for the comedy.
Hi there, I'm Ali Sheedy, and when I'm not taking photographs of bricks, I'm listening to the After Movie Diner podcast, mostly for the pancakes.
Yes, that's right. The award-winning After Movie Diner podcast is all things to all people. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TalkShoe, Podbean, Facebook, Twitter, and at www.aftermoviediner.com.
There are men, and then there are second unit podcast men. The podcast you've just been listening to is part of the Second Unit Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at 2upn.blogspot.com or on Facebook under the Second Unit Podcast Network. Our fantastic list of shows include Drunk on VHS, We Came from the Basement, No Budget Nightmares, The After Movie Diner, Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid, and Bloodbaths and Boomsticks. Take one podcast into the shower. Don't be a blithering idiot, Alan. We can give you the multiple podcast cleansing system all in one place that your hair deserves. Our programming is available across all platforms from iTunes to Podomatic, TalkShoe to Stitcher, so you have absolutely no excuse. Listen today and a free naked person of your choice will be shipped from Thailand to your door in a matter of weeks. The Second Unit Podcast Network. Bringing you the action and leaving the boring stuff to the other guys. Bloody hell,
Who does a girl have to blow around here to get a decent beverage?